This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Welcome to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Between 2 and 3 o'clock, coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of the Championship action from the weekend. So many goals, so many games that had so many interesting narratives coming out of it. So plenty to look forward to over the next hour. We'll be talking more in depth about Sheffield Wednesday, Cardiff and Barnsley. All three sides having pretty fascinating high-scoring games. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. That number again, if you want to get in contact, we want to hear from you, the fans out there this afternoon. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number if you want to get in touch with us. So let's look back at all of the scores from the Championship weekend. It started on Friday night at the Valley, a pretty dramatic game that ended Charlton 2, Hull 2. Then on to Saturday, a pretty entertaining Midlands derby that finished Birmingham 2, West Brom 3, which sees the Baggies return to the top of the table. Barnsley 5, QPR 3. What a nutty game at Oakwell, but Gerhard Struber's side only securing their third win of the season. Brentford 1, Fulham 0, which means that Brentford have leapfrogged Fulham in the table. A bit of a surprise at Ashton Gate. Bristol City 0, Blackburn 2. Blackburn looking really, really good so far. Derby 0, Millwall 1. What a ridiculous game at Elland Road. Leeds were 3-0 up and drew 3-3 against Cardiff. Was that just typical Leeds? Nottingham Forest 0, Sheffield Wednesday 4. All four Wednesday goals coming in the first half. And Jordan Rhodes ending a 20-month wait for a Wednesday goal with a first-half hat-trick. We'll be talking more about that in just a second. Preston 2, Luton 1, a 0-0 draw between Stoke and Reading at the Bet365. Swansea arresting a poor run of form with a 3-1 home win against Jonathan Woodgate under pressure Middlesbrough. And the final game, Wigan 1, Huddersfield 1. One of the scorelines I just mentioned there was a pretty emphatic away win for Gary Monk's Sheffield Wednesday, 4-0 away at Nottingham Forest, who Sheffield Wednesday have now leapfrogged in the table, all four goals coming in the first half. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Alex. So, what a victory for Wednesday. Have you seen many better first halves from Wednesday than you saw on Saturday?
I haven't. You mentioned emphatic there, Kieran, and that's the word that we've sort of used quite a lot. It was an incredible first half performance. You sort of get memories. You remember they were 4-1 up at half time at Middlesbrough. So for a team that, you know, at points this season have struggled scoring goals, you know, those two first half performances, like I said, been quite incredible. Saturday in particular, you know, of all the things I was expecting to see on Saturday, turning up at the City Ground, the Jordan Rhodes hat trick, I've got to admit, wasn't one. But yeah, three chances, three goals, you know, a perfect hat trick as well, left foot, right foot, and header. And yeah, hopefully that's the springboard that he needs to sort of kick on now in a Wednesday shirt.
Do you think what was so impressive, as well as the fact that obviously four goals in the first half in any game against any opponent is pretty impressive, but the fact that Nottingham Forest, who've made a good start, they were in the top six before the weekend, that they are a good side, they made a good start to the season, that doing this, not just against that side, but away from home at Nottingham Forest, just perhaps highlights that this Sheffield Wednesday side is a good side.
Yeah, there was a bit of a feeling that maybe Forest, you know, in recent weeks, obviously they started, they were among the pace setters, weren't they, in the early weeks of the season. There was a little bit of a feeling that maybe they were there to be got at. Not, admittedly, in the way that Wednesday went about it and you know, obviously with the goal scorer being Rhodes and all the rest of it. But yeah, there was a feeling that maybe that, you know, they could turn on and maybe nick a win. But yeah, at half time at 4-0 up, quite incredible. And you know, what we're describing as quite easily the best performance of Wednesday's season. In terms of what it proves for Wednesday, well, you know, all those worries about goal scoring and over reliance on Stephen Fletcher and all the rest of it, you know, they've been sort of put to bed for a few days. And you know, if like I said, if Rhodes can follow that up and they can continue creating chances as they have been doing over the last few weeks, then who knows where they might end up at the end of the season.
You just mentioned it there, Alex, about, we spoke last week about how maybe there was an over-reliance upon Stephen Fletcher, that the difference between the number of goals he scored compared to second best was a significant gap. But the fact that Jordan Rhodes, who has, as I said, hadn't scored for Wednesday in 20 months, doesn't just score a hat-trick, scores the perfect hat-trick, that is this a good sign of things to come, that there isn't just necessarily a case of, for some clubs out there, you think of Hull with Jarrod Bowen, you think of Blackburn with Bradley Dack, usually with those sides, if those players don't play well, they don't play well. This must give Wednesday fans a bit more hope and a bit more confidence that even if Stephen Fletcher doesn't have a brilliant game, Wednesday still have other players that can step up and contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to look at Wednesday, Jordan Rhodes' Wednesday career as one of disappointment. He arrived for £8 million. He remains the club's, you know, record signing, and it just hasn't quite happened for him for one reason or another. He's sort of been in and out with injuries. Obviously spent last season on loan at Norwich and scored 6 goals across the season for the eventual league champions, of course. And yeah, I think Gary Monk's come in with a clean slate. He sort of suggested that Rhodes had to fight his way into the team, that he had to show him some personality. And he said that he'd done that. So the place is his now. For the next few weeks, you've got to think. One swallow obviously doesn't make a summer, and he's got to follow that up again. He scored a hat-trick for Norwich last season, I think, in the Carabao Cup, and maybe wasn't as prolific as people were hoping then. But yeah, if he can nick a couple of goals, you know, his confidence has got to be high. And like I say, it could be a kick-start to what has been, you know, up to this point, a really frustrating spell at Wednesday.
So it's a third win in a 5-match unbeaten run for Gary Monk's side. To begin with, when he came in, there was a real bounce. Then it really plateaued again. Now they've gone on this unbeaten run. They're up to fifth place on 36 points, just 1 point off third, but 11 points off second place Leeds. Are you looking at it thinking Sheffield Wednesday are in a good spot, a good position to make sure they get a top six spot, and that the top two really, in reality terms, unless we get a kind of typical Leeds collapse, realistically, those top two spots might not be achievable?
Yeah, well, you know, you look at it and those two teams from many weeks into the season, you know, there was this talk that no team or no teams were really running away from it, which has happened in, obviously, championship seasons in the past. But yeah, those two have really, what was it, 7 wins in a row for those two. And yeah, like we say, they've sort of run away with it. Whether Leeds will collapse, I think there's a few Wednesday fans hoping they might do, you know, that Yorkshire rivalry there. But yeah, look, I think Wednesday are as well placed as anyone if they can keep this run going. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that they've created a lot of chances in games that maybe they haven't won, and now they are sort of starting to hit their stride and hit the back of the net with more regularity. There is, of course, this dark cloud hanging over the club with the potential points deduction for the FA charge of misconduct, which you know, we're hoping from a Wednesday point of view won't make too much of a difference. But, you know, some of the points totals that are being talked about, 12 points and even more, depending on who you're reading and who you're listening to. Yeah, hopefully that doesn't take the knees out and they are able to get that playoff berth this season.
Looking forward then to Wednesday's next game. This week there isn't a midweek fixture, but a pretty significant game coming up on Sunday. It's a home against Bristol City, who have made a good start, but then were surprised to lose at the weekend at home against Blackburn. But this is another good test where Wednesday are playing sides in and around them. They beat Forest convincingly away from home on the weekend. It's another significant test of where Wednesday are at in direct comparison to the teams in and around them.
Yeah, there was this charge sort of hanging over Wednesday, and particularly since Gary Monk came in, that they hadn't beaten a team in and around them. And obviously the great win against Brentford at Hillsborough a couple of weeks ago, and then followed up with this one against Forest on Saturday, sort of put that to bed. And to be fair to them, if you look at some of the games that they've had against the likes of Leeds, and they were very good at West Brom and were unlucky to lose there. They drew against Swansea as well. So they have been turning out performances. But yeah, I think it was important to get those wins against, you know, the prices, aren't they? 3 points against teams in and around them. So, yeah, no, I think everything's sort of looking rosy at the minute for Wednesday. They've got a busy period coming up. You know, they do have a relative amount of depth in the squad. So we'll know a lot more about Wednesday when we get the other side of Christmas, I think.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Alex. That was Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star, reacting to a stunning, in particular, first half performance from Wednesday, being 4-0 up before even half time against Nottingham Forest. And what a moment for Jordan Rhodes. As Alex mentioned, there, he was on loan at Norwich, who were promoted last season, scored just below the double figure mark. Hadn't scored a Wednesday goal in 20 months. Doesn't just go and score a hat trick, goes and scores the perfect hat trick. Right foot, left foot, header. A pretty good moment for Jordan Rhodes. They're in a decent position. They are at home against Bristol City this coming Saturday. It was a crazy weekend of Championship football. Leeds 3-0 up and managed to draw 3-3 against Cardiff, who also had to try and find an equaliser while down to 10 men. So a crazy game there. A crazy Midlands derby earlier on Saturday, where Birmingham were 2-1 up against West Brom, but two Charlie Austin goals in 8 minutes managed to secure a victory for them. That game, as I mentioned, in Sheffield Wednesday away at Nottingham Forest, there was a late goal for Jaden Stockley as Preston beat Luton. From the sublime then to the ridiculous, because when I say the less said about that, the better with some Premier League games. The game at the Bet365 between Stoke and Reading, I think that cliche was used or was created with that game in mind, because there were no shots on target from either side. I think that probably goes up there as one of the dullest games of football anyone has ever witnessed. So any Stoke or Reading fans out there, please call us this afternoon and tell us how, well, I suppose, do we really want to know? Yes, we do. Tell us how dull that game was. Have you ever seen a duller game than what you saw on the weekend? And also a bit on Derby. They lost at the weekend at home against Millwall. And obviously Wayne Rooney will become a player at Derby in January. He's already on the coaching staff, but he will become a player in January. But Philip Cocu, the manager, has suggested that he will not be kind of, that will not be just it, that Derby need more than just Rooney, and his introduction in January will not be enough on its own to end Derby's poor form, indicating for Derby fans there might be some business done in the January transfer window. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, not just Stoke and Reading fans talking about that atrocious game of football with no shots on target between Stoke and Reading, also all other Championship fans, get in contact with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Barnsley, talking about goals in games. 5-3 winners against QPR. That is entertainment and getting your money's worth for the game. But up next, we'll be talking about another game that was full of goals. It was at Elland Road. Leeds 3-0 up, but Cardiff came back to draw 3-3.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, you can call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. Later in the hour, we are going to talk about Barnsley's enthralling victory over QPR, just their third win of the season in the Championship so far. But another pretty entertaining game took place at Elland Road. Leeds were 3-0 up, destined for another 3 points. And Leeds fans inside Elland Road must have been thinking this was an easy, easy game. However, Cardiff were having none of it, scored 3 times in the final 30 minutes and equalised down to 10 men when Sean Morrison was sent off. To give us the Cardiff view now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ben James, founder of View from the Ninian podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ben. So, that game was pretty nutty. I was following it on Saturday afternoon, and you think one goal goes in. No, it's probably still a Leeds win. Two goals go in, and you're suddenly thinking, that crowd at Elland Road getting a bit nervous. Three goals go in. You must have been incredibly proud of your side for the comeback they achieved on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can say it's some kind of Christmas miracle. I think when we went 2-0 down in quite quick succession early on in the game, I think a lot of fans would have thought that's game over. Leeds are, you know, far and away one of the best teams in the league. But then we showed a real kind of fighting spirit in that second half to turn things around. And I think even when we went down to 10 men, we kind of still clawed it back and got it back to 3-3, which was it was incredible. I think Leeds are somewhat of Leeds' bogey sides ever since that famous night in Ninian Park in 2002. And I think we showed that again at the weekend by just kind of clawing them back and shutting their crowd up, really.
Do you think that what Cardiff used there, that I suppose what I'm asking is, would this have been possible against another side? And the reason I ask that is because Leeds have become synonymous with these collapses, not just within games, but within seasons, that for 15 years now, people have been saying, when are Leeds going to get into the Premier League? It happened again last season in the second half of the season. But do you think that that would have just increased Cardiff's confidence through the roof once they got one or two goals back, and preying on the real drop in confidence, not just within the Leeds side, but within that Leeds crowd, where they, to an extent, when the second goal goes in, there's a sense of inevitability that Cardiff were going to get that third goal.
Yeah, and you could really hear it around the ground. I think when the second goal went in, like you say, their fans kind of immediately went quiet. You could hear the murmurings of discontent amongst them. I mean, I think we knew then it was kind of ours to the taking, or at least, you know, to get the equaliser in. I think it's a combo of things, really. I think, like I said, we're always their bogey side. I think they're always kind of worried about bottling things, as they have done over the last few seasons. They always seem to have that reputation. But I also think it's just, as a football club, and this is probably a compliment to them, really, they haven't really lost many games this season, and they haven't really been clawed back in many games. So I think it probably was a kind of a weird reaction from the players, because they didn't really know how to deal with it. Because once you scored the first goal, you might think, hey, that's perhaps a consolation goal. There's no way we're coming back. But like that second goal went in, I think if the fans started losing their confidence a little bit, then that seeped into the players. And if they're not really used to having to kind of close out games in close situations, then perhaps it was just an inevitability, because their players really didn't know how to react to that second goal going in.
Cardiff manager Neil Harris admitted after the game that it's a hard one, because Leeds were better than his side, and at times he said his team were very, very poor defensively and gave away some really poor goals. Mm-hmm. But coming out of this game with a draw, this is one of those games where you must feel, as a Cardiff fan, actually, it does feel like a win, and this could be a massive result, because even on a day where, for 60 minutes, Cardiff were really completely outplayed by Leeds away from home at Elland Road, one of the toughest places to go in the Championship, and yet Cardiff were still able to draw the game, and they had to find an equaliser when they were down to 10 men.
Yeah, and I think you know, just I'm pleased with the draw, and I'm pleased that we came back the way we did, but I think for me it does somewhat paper over the cracks. I was at Brentford in the week where we were 2-0 down at half time, and a similar thing happened. We didn't kick in till 60 minutes. So my theory, you know, my thinking is that if we can score three in half an hour, and like you say, get the equaliser when we're down, and then come back from 3-0 down, what would happen if we actually started a game pretty well and actually, you know, from the first minute we're firing on all cylinders? Because if we're getting those three goals and we're struggling in the second half and everything else, then if we start games to the best of our ability and really start playing from the playing games for 90 minutes rather than just half an hour, then it kind of does give us confidence in going into the next part of the season, where really we should be turning these close draws and these close losses into draws and wins, and getting 3 points instead of the 1 point. And I think it's the confidence that we need that's going to push us up the table. And I think, like you say, going to Leeds, getting that last minute equaliser will galvanise the team now going into the crucial Christmas period.
In general, then, where Cardiff are currently at, they are 12th place in the table on 32 points, just 3 points actually off the top six. Now, when Neil Harris was appointed as the Cardiff manager, it was met with significant negativity. Do you think, Ben, that has changed? Because generally, Neil Harris has made a pretty decent start, pretty solid start to life as the Cardiff manager. Do you reckon a lot of those fans that were negative to begin with have been turned around, or is there still a long way before certain Cardiff fans start warming towards Neil Harris?
I think after the weekend, there's a certain element that are going to be warmed up even more. I think, knowing Cardiff fans, that we could have brought in the best manager in the world, we could have brought in Pep Guardiola, and people still would have moaned. So he's never going to win over every single fan. But I think he's gone a long way to kind of, you know, bringing good grace towards himself. I think he's only lost one game now, which was the Brentford game. We've had good results at home against Stoke. We've had this draw at the weekend against Leeds, and we're going into a real crucial period now where we've got a couple of beatable teams that are around us in a few days. I think we've got Preston this Saturday, who, despite being third, are only 5 points ahead of us. So if we have a good home victory on Saturday and we start pushing at the table a little bit even further, and then I think it's Millwall on Boxing Day, and they're only a point ahead of us. So it's really interesting that we've got this result going into these two couple of games where there's teams around us, that teams that we can kind of start making up ground upon. And I think if we can get a good result on the weekend, then get a good result on Boxing Day, and all of a sudden we're on 38 points and the playoffs are probably even closer in reach, then I think a lot of the fans who perhaps are still a little bit reticent towards Neil Harris and still a bit worried about the performances we've had so far will actually start to realise that going into January, where he can sign a few players and strengthen his hand, then I think we've just got a really good chance to be threatening for the playoffs in the second half of the season.
One bit of positive off-field news, Ben, in the last week is the news that centre-back Sol Bamba has signed a new one-year contract extension at the club. Considering some of the experience that left last summer, you're looking at the likes of Aaron Gunnarsson left, Bruno Manga left, Kenneth Sahor left. So there was quite a bit of experience that had left this Cardiff squad. How important is it that Sol Bamba has signed the contract extension? And do you think he's got maybe a bigger role to play off the field than he does on the field? Or is he still a massive player for Cardiff?
Yeah, it's crucial really for his, because he's talismanic for us. He's, you know, was our captain for a while. He was our leader for so much of last season when we were up in the Premier League. And I think he does deserve to kind of have another year at least to show what he can do on the pitch. I think there are two folds to kind of the way he works at the moment. I know he's been doing a bit of coaching with the under-23s and the reserve side. So I think that's where his long-term future lies. But in the immediate short term, I think if Aidan Flint isn't fit after the weekend and Sean Morrison's red card holds up, which I think we're appealing, so it might not. But if that's the case, then we're short of a centre-half. And I think he might be plunged straight back into things on Saturday alongside Nelson, because in reality, there's no other choice really to play at centre-half at the moment unless we shift someone like Peltier inside or we play someone like Cameron Cox, who's one of our young players. But I think that there could be a really important role for him to play over the next 3 to 5 games if Morrison is suspended for those games. And Flint, you know, he might be injured, but he hasn't probably been performing to the best of his abilities. So there was always question marks about him. So I can imagine if all things are, you know, conspire to go the way they are at the moment, then Saturday could be Bamba's next appearance.
And just finally, Ben, you mentioned it a few minutes ago about the January transfer window. Inevitably, in the middle of December, attention for a lot of fans does turn to the window and who might be coming in, who might be going out. What do you think are Neil Harris's priorities? And will he be given funds or adequate funds that he would like in January, considering a lot of people make the point that it isn't easy to sign in January?
No, I think we've got too many goalkeepers at the moment, so I think we'll shift out a goalkeeper or two. I think there's question marks over our strikers at the moment. None of them are kind of scoring enough goals. I know Glatzel's just come back from injury, so we'll let him pass. But I think there's a question mark there if we need another striker in. But I think, again, we'll have to shift some players out. And I think the biggest priority he's kind of mentioned are at fullbacks, really, because Lee Peltier, I think, he's come into his final year of his contract and he's looking a bit jaded, a bit tired. Joe Bennett just hasn't performed at the level he was last year, and Jazz Richards is on the bench, but he's, well, you know, was meant to be coming back fit this weekend, but got injured in training again somehow, so he's perennially injured. And I think that's where the biggest focus will be. I think we need to bring in a solid right or left back who's going to be able to offer us cover for the next couple of seasons and kind of just give a kick up the bottom, really, to people like Joe Bennett, because he just looked so complacent this year, despite being one of our most talented players over the last couple seasons. And I think that's just where the focus will be, really.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ben. That was Ben James, founder and writer for View from the Ninny, and talking about what was a simply ridiculous game, like there were so many. We talked about Sheffield Wednesday early winning 4-0 away at Nottingham Forest. I don't think many would have predicted that. And also at 60 minutes, Leeds 3-0 up, that this looked absolutely destined for 3 points for Leeds United. But maybe this is that pressure. I know we're only 22 games into the season and there's still a long way to go and a number of months to go. But maybe there is that pressure, that there is so much expectation. This has been said season in, season out. When are Leeds going to get back to the Premier League? It happened last season, one of the most dramatic of collapses we've seen from Leeds over the last 15 years. And it's that pressure building. And as I said, at 3-1, I think you're still pretty kind of sure that Leeds are going to win this game and take 3 more points and maintain their position at the top of the Championship table. Suddenly, when Leeds concede the second goal, you're thinking, here we go. Here's the infamous Leeds collapse. They're going to get rolled over here. Even when Sean Morrison was sent off for Cardiff, and Cardiff are really considering and probably going to appeal Sean Morrison's red card, that you get the sense there's a sense of inevitability that was going to happen, that Cardiff were going to score that equaliser. And maybe it's an early sign that that pressure on Marcelo Bielsa and his side and that crowd at Elland Road, because that would have played a part. There'd have been so much nervousness, so much kind of dread of what was to come in those final few minutes at Elland Road, that that wouldn't have helped the players either. It does show that the fans do, or their mood, the atmosphere created within a stadium does affect the players on the pitch. That I'm not blaming the fans here, because the players are the ones playing on the pitch, so it's up to them. But it does show the importance of fans, because in that situation, when the crowd is nervous and is anxious, the players feed off that. As it is the exact the other way, it works at both ends of the spectrum. When there's an incredible energy in a stadium, the players feed off that energy. When there's a sense of real trepidation and nervousness going into a final few minutes of a game, you so often see it in the players. It happens all the time. It happened for my team, Liverpool, on the weekend at Anfield, even against a side in Watford that had won one game all season, that you could sense the nervousness within Anfield on Saturday, that then that then had an impact on the players. Virgil van Dijk nearly scored a ridiculous own goal. And that's where the atmosphere within a stadium can start having an impact, and it can have a positive or a negative impact on the players on the pitch. And you get the sense on Saturday that at Elland Road, especially when that second goal went in for Cardiff, all hope was lost of maintaining 3 points. And you sense the players were feeding off that in a very negative way. Is this the start of the Leeds collapse, or is it just a blip? Make sure you get in contact with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We've talked about two enthralling games with plenty of goals in them. Well, at Oakwell on the weekend, it was another high-scoring affair. 8 goals between Barnsley and QPR. Barnsley securing their third league win of the season.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Still plenty to talk about over the next hour. Just a reminder of all of the Championship games this weekend. Charlton 2, Hull 2, Birmingham 2, West Brom 3, Barnsley 5, QPR 3, Brentford 1, Fulham 0, Bristol City 0, Blackburn 2, Derby 0, Millwall 1, Leeds 3, Cardiff 3, Nottingham Forest 0, Sheffield Wednesday 4, Preston 2, Luton 1, Stoke 0, Reading 0, Swansea 3, Middlesbrough 1, and Wigan 1, Huddersfield 1. One of those games on Saturday afternoon, we've talked about two high-scoring affairs. There was most certainly a high-scoring affair at Oakwell between Barnsley and QPR. For Barnsley, 5-3 winners, just their third win of the Championship so far. Our next guest, I'm sure, was happy about that and is probably still happy about it. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Carlo from the Reds Report. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Carlo. Too often this season, from your point of view, you've come on talking about the weekend and it's been a bad result for Barnsley. This weekend, not only can you react to a win for Barnsley, but you can react to what was a pretty remarkable high-scoring affair.
Oh, definitely. Father Christmas is well and truly alive in the shape of Gerhard Struber, who, I don't know, everything just sort of came together. I think some of the players that we have been critical of, in fairness, and just performed, more of the individual mistakes were cut out. And I think the key, we've talked a lot about Coley Woodrow, but actually, if you look at Connor Chaplin's stats, before Struber came in, I believe, you know, he scored, I think it was one goal or a couple of goals under Standall and under Murray. And ever since Struber came in, he sort of stuck with Connor Chaplin. He's getting a regular run. And I think it's 6-6 or 7-6 now. The change of formation with the diamond in the middle obviously really, really suits him. Coley Woodrow sort of playing at top of that diamond. And yeah, obviously we're still at 3 goals in. But, you know, we looked earlier, in plenty of matches this season, we scored 2 goals and didn't get anything from the match. And this time we're still at 3 in, but at least we scored 5. So, yeah, a well-deserved home victory for Gerhard Struber. And the Reds fans are obviously sticking with the team. And I think what it showed is that we are capable of playing exciting, good football going forward. It's just at the back, some of these issues need to be addressed. But whatever, we're scoring more than the opposition, I'm happy. And in fact, I'm still singing. So yeah, all is good.
Yeah, you look at the recent results, Carl, and Barnsley have been involved in quite a lot of high-scoring affairs. You think of a few weeks ago, 3-1 at home win against Hull, 3-2 defeat away at Cardiff, 1-1 at home against Reading, and then 5-3. So quite clearly, for you Barnsley fans, it's pretty entertaining watching your club at the moment.
Well, it is. Well, it's not. If you settle all the way to Cardiff, they score two goals and concede, you know, an injury winner for Cardiff in the last minute or so. But we have got goals in us, and players like Connor Chaplin, like Coley Woodrow, Alex Morwood chipping in with the assist. I think the key person, obviously, don't get me wrong, Connor Chaplin scored three amazing goals. Jacob Brown was still a young lad. And last season, Brad Potts was one of the favourite players. A lot of assists, a lot of goals. He went to Preston. Jacob Brown got his nod. And he's been a little bit shaky this season and you know, swapping sides and not really, I suppose, getting forward as much as he probably wants to and putting those balls in. I don't know what happened with him on Saturday, but the belief was there. And a lot of the balls were actually coming from Jacob Brown. So when you've got a Brown, you've got a Chaplin, you've got a Woodrow, you've got a Mowat, we have got goals in us. It's just on the other side of the pitch where we just need to learn a bit more composure. And nothing says it more than, I think it was the first or the second minute, Bambo Diaby got the ball. Players were coming towards him and literally straight, roll set, top tier, and a huge round of applause, because too often have we had this philosophy of we play it out from the back. And I think that's great if you've got confidence. It's great if you've got players that can do that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if it doubts, kick it out and sort of set up again, and, you know, and that's what's happening more. So I think that the belief is growing a bit under the players. He seems to have chosen his I suppose, his favourite or his starting 11, apart from Apo Halme, who's injured at the moment, and a big, big shout to Clark Odor, who we signed from Leeds in the summer. A left-back who got a chance because of the injury to Ben Williams, who played absolutely amazing as well. So, yeah, everything just aligned, and it's just over that this can be a springboard for Barnsley, where we continue scoring those goals, but we just stop letting in so many at the back.
As you mentioned, attacking-wise, things going really well for Barnsley. Corley Woodrow's up to 9 goals. Connor Chaplin, after his hat-trick, up to 7 goals. And you mentioned there, Carlo, about the defensive issues. Which way around do you think it's, I suppose, for Gerhard Schubert, do you think it's easier to sort out? Do you think it is easier to, considering they've got the goals now, they've got players that can score, 16 between Woodrow and Chaplin, and actually getting a bit more defensive structure, a bit more organisation is easier than actually the other way around, where Barnsley might have been keeping clean sheets but struggling to score goals?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think he said the low market is something that he's probably interested in. And some people will have to be offloaded in January. And, you know, there is some, I suppose, in Barnsley terms, high wage earners. But there's some players that are just not featuring. So you're looking at probably the likes of a TM, a Cavare, and some other ones, Pinilos maybe as well, that are not featuring. If they can be offloaded or sold on to other clubs, then that money will be made available to... he wants to reinforce in two positions. I definitely think one of those positions should be at the back. Diaby, brilliant going forward. I mean, he came up with the last goal. He scored a couple of own goals so far this season as well. So it's just a little bit about composure. We talked a lot about experience, but maybe somebody in that position just to sort of keep, you know, the heads calm. And that would certainly see Barnsley climb out of trouble. It was a good weekend for us, obviously with the goals and the victory. Other teams above us losing. That gap sort of narrowed a little bit. And going into the Christmas period, yes, we are still bottom of the table. But when the teams are above, you're only 2 or 3 points away, and you've still got that feeling of, you know, we can make this. Because whatever you score, but other teams are struggling to score goals, they're losing 1-0. We ain't got the trouble scoring goals, it's just letting them in at the end. So if we can sort that, I wouldn't bet against the mini Barnsley survival. And I'm not saying they're going to end up in the top 10, because they won't. But there's nothing wrong with finishing 16th, 17th or 18th and having another season in the Championship.
So Barnsley are still bottom of the table, but they're only 4 points away from safety, considering there have been a bit of an upturn in form that it's, what, 2 wins and a draw in the last 4 games. And considering some sides are in really bad form, you're looking at Luton in bad form, Wigan in bad form, Middlesbrough in bad form, do you think that there's growing belief within the Barnsley fan base that if Barnsley don't need to go on a ridiculous run, they don't need to go six games with straight wins, but actually a decent little unbeaten run could find themselves very quickly out of the relegation zone?
Yeah, and I think while ever, they say, well, it's mathematical possible, but you could be 12 points, you know, adrift, and mathematically it's still possible, but it's very hard to get that belief. While it's just a few points, and you look at your results, you look at the fact that you are scoring goals, but you can see it in the players. The defeat at Cardiff, you know, a Connor Chaplin who sort of drops to the ground and there's tears, because I think the belief is now there more for the players. I think Skrube has done an enormous job in turning the fortunes around. We start talking less and less about Daniel Stendel, because while we will always remember him for what he did, the first 15 matches we weren't good enough. But now we've got the same players. Obviously, no players have arrived. No players come back for any injury. We've got the same players, but we're playing a different style. And the players seem to have taken to their positions. They play with a bit of freedom and lots of belief. And I think that will be the key to the Barnsley survival that may continue into the Christmas period and into 2020.
And just finally, Carl, I wanted to talk about, you mentioned Daniel Stendel's name there. Very, very interesting that obviously he's become the new Hearts manager, but this situation, this saga rumbles on about Barnsley not being particularly happy. And the reason why they sacked him was because he was in talks with a rival championship club without being given permission. Now, Stendel denies that this was the case. Is this a situation that's going to rumble on? And do you think it benefits anyone allowing this situation to rumble on? Do you think Barnsley would be better served just moving on from this, putting it behind them and concentrating on matters on the field and getting themselves out of the relegation zone?
Yeah, it was a really funny one, because the board, once Stendel's appointment was made public, the board came out with a statement, obviously saying that they never really sacked him because he was still being paid by the club. But he had been talking to a championship club. If we read into Daniel Stendel's statement, it sounds a little bit like permission was given, but they couldn't agree on a compensation figure. So the club said no, and communications kept on going between Stendel and this other club, which we believed to be in Huddersfield at the time. It's best to just put it to bed, because, you know, we're winning games, we're playing attractive football, and all eyes need to be on our position on the championship. Because, well, yes, we won another match at home, and it was a high-scoring match, and somebody got a hat-trick, which is absolutely fantastic. The bare facts are, we are still bottom of the table. We are capable of coming out of there, but we can only do that if everybody's focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is survival in this league for at least another season.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Carlo. That was Carlo from the Reds Report joining us to talk. Hasn't been many times that we've talked to Carlo this season about Barnsley win, only the third time this season, and they won on the opening weekend, but an enthralling 5-3 victory against QPR, one of many high-scoring games in the Championship this weekend. Connor Chaplin scoring a hat-trick. The concerns for Barnsley aren't at the attacking end, because they've scored 9 goals and 7 goals through Woodrow and Chaplin. So they're scoring plenty of goals. Maybe it is easier this way around, where they just need to perhaps have a bit more balance, be a bit more organised defensively. I think it's probably harder the other way around. If you can't score goals, well, you can't magic them out of nowhere. Whereas if you can score goals, at least you can find a way of becoming a slightly more balanced side. For Barnsley, they're on an okay run at the moment. 2 wins, a draw and a loss from their last 4. And considering some of the poor form from some of the other sides, they're only 4 points away from safety now. So, and as I said, maybe this situation with Daniel Stendel and Carlo was talking about it there, Huddersfield are supposedly the side that he may have been in talks with without being given permission. Maybe it's better for Barnsley to just park that to one side, move on from it. Daniel Stendel's now at Hearts. Just get on with it. Focus on the manager you do have, which is Gerhard Struber, and just focus on getting yourself out of the relegation. So maybe in this situation, it would be better for Barnsley to move on. Love Sport.